Blog Talk Radio.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani r-rajim. I seek refuge, protection with Allah. Min ash-shaytani r-rajim, from Satan, the rejected, accursed enemy, the avowed enemy of mankind. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With the name Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Peace be upon you and God's mercy and blessings. Wa barakatuhu. Peace be upon you and Allah's mercy. Wa barakatuhu and his blessings. You're listening to Words Made People. I'm your host, Michael Sahir. Today is February 27th, 2022. A time for celebration for us in this experience of this sojourn to our human destiny as American citizens at this point. And we thank Allah for being American citizens. But on this sojourn to our noble destiny of human excellence in the family of a man according to the plans of Almighty God Allah. Today's topic is going to be on Savior's Day. It's going to be a two-part program, meaning that for the first half hour, I'm going to speak about some concepts on Savior's Day. And then at 1:30, we're going to segue over and do a simulcast of the New Jersey Imam's Savior's Day program. In the New Jersey Imam's, they're doing... Well, it's sponsored by the Council of Imams in New Jersey. But they're going to have reflection from the regional and sessional conveners from around the country, from the East Coast to the West. We're going to have Imam Yahya Islam from the Southern section, Imam Fatmi Sabri from the Southwest section. They're going to have Imam Talib Mahdi from New England section. Sister Aisha K. Mustafa, she's going to be on their program. And also Imam Musa Abdul Ali from the Northeast, Dr. Abdel Nuruddin from the Mid-Atlantic, and Imam Qasim Abdul Qadir Al-Amin from the West section. And from my beloved Midwest, I guess I'm biased to the Midwest, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, who is the national as well as the Midwest section convener. That's going to come on, inshallah, at 1:30. We're going to do a simulcast. But for the first half hour, I'm going to share a few thoughts on Savior's Day. And we're going to talk about that just as maybe a half hour or so. And if you have a comment along the way, we're going to do that too. And I see my brother's number here, for Brother Mark Shaheed. So in a few minutes, I'm going to bring him on. He didn't know this, but he did call in. I know that number. I may bring him in for, he was 2 or 3 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever. His thoughts on Savior's Day as well. This is in the first half hour, because as you said, at 1:30, we're going to segue over to the New Jersey Imam's Savior's Day program. So again, we say to you, Assalamu Alaikum. Now, that is a very special, beautiful greeting. It's more than a greeting. It is really a prayer. We say Assalamu Alaikum, we return back, Alaikum Assalam, and that is a greeting. It is a greeting, but it is a greeting that mentions one of the attributes of Almighty God, Allah. And that attribute is As-Salam. If we just say As-Salam, yes, peace. But we put the A-L, though it's pronounced A-S, but still saying A-L in front, we're saying the peace, As-Salam. And we're saying that, so we are saying when we greet each other in a prayer that may the peace that only God can give be with you. Just like greetings, Assalamu Alaikum. May the peace that only God can give be with you. So that means I'm offering you really an agreement or a contract or a pact. That, and if you agree to this contract, then you will return back to Greece and say, Alaykum As-Salam, until you be the peace only God can give. So the Islamic greeting is more than just, hello, how you doing? The Islamic greeting of As-Salamu Alaykum is really, as we said, a prayer, and it is also a contract. What is the contract for? That we would keep the peace, not according to what Mikhail Sahir may feel that day, and not according to what you, the recipient, may feel that day. But we're going to keep the peace in accord with the laws of al-Islam, with the law, the order established by our Creator. When we say As-Salaamu Alaykum, Alaykum As-Salaam. And alhamdulillah for Allah giving us this beautiful, holistic religion. So let me share a few thoughts from Savior's Day. And it is our format, and we pray we keep this format, that we always read the Quran first. Whenever we're going to speak on this program, it's called Words Made People. And there's a lot of words that make a lot of people. But the best words for making people are the words of revelation sent to all the prophets over many, many generations, many years. And the most complete package and the most pristine package of revelation is that of the Quran, because Allah protected his Quran. For us, and not, when I say us, I mean not just Muslims. Allah also protected the Quran for humanity. For humanity. So before reading the Quran, we always say the two phrases that I said in the beginning. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek refuge, protection with Allah. Minash shaitan, from shaitan, min rajim, the rejected, accursed enemy. Then next we say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with Allah's name, the merciful, benefactor, merciful redeemer. And now we read from chapter 66, verse 6. To 66, verse 6. Surat Tahrim, the prohibition. So again, chapter 66, verse 6. And it reads, Ya ayyuhalladhina aminu ku anfusikum wa ahlikum naran wakuduha nasu wa hijaratu alayha malakatun over your angels malakatun God, gilazu shedadu. It says stern or severe angels. Said over yet are angels. Let me go back to the beginning because I've read quite a bit. Yeah, are you hella being an aminu? Oh, you who believe, cool and fusikum. Wa ahlikum. This cool. Just a very short word, cool, where we get the word taqwa from. Taqwa and cool come from the same word. So this cool here means to protect, but it's based upon that there's a God consciousness in this cool. Cool and fusikum, protect or save. Save yourself. And fusikum, yourself, wa ahlikum, and your families. So here we're given wonderful wisdom in this Quran, where Allah is telling us, oh, you who believe. So if Allah is addressing this to the believers, then it is important that the believers hear this call. Now, if you're a disbeliever, what they call kafir, are you munafiqun, the hypocrites, it's not talking to you. It's talking to the believers, because Allah says from the beginning, O you who believe. So if you are a believer, then you are obligated to heed these words from this meeting. Excuse me. I closed my door here. We have the blessings of our grandbaby staying with us today. And want to make sure they don't interrupt this conversation. But it's a blessing because that's the family. And Allah tells us to save our family from the fire, from the nar, from the nar. And so this is what we look to if we discuss about Savior's Day, about Savior's Day. So just a few points for me, if you will, on Savior's Day. And then we will, I'm going to ask my brother Mark, though he didn't plan that. I'm saying it 2 or 3 times, give him time to get his thoughts together so that when I call on him, he'd be ready. He's going to give me the original salute. He's going to give us the original salute. Alhamdulillah. So here we read from the Quran. Save yourselves and your families from a fire whose fuel is men and stones. Yes, that's the Quran. That's Allah speaking to the believers. And we have this day that which we observe as Savior's Day. Savior's Day. A name and a process that has evolved over the last 60 years, which is okay, which is really proper, because we as a people, we are evolving as well. So as the knowledge evolves, then we can evolve. If the knowledge does not evolve, then we will not evolve. Everything grows. Everything. So Savior Day, and when I say Savior Day, there's no S on Savior. There's no apostrophe S on Savior. Notice there an S followed by an apostrophe. It's singular. Savior Day. This is where the concept has evolved to. When it first began, it was Savior's apostrophe S Day, which was saying that this day belonged to one person. And that one person being who told us he was born February 25th was Mr. W.D. Farrar. So he was a replacement in the lives of our community for the Caucasian slave, Savior, that we had as in our Christian evolution, our Christian evolvement, before coming into the Nation of Islam. We had the white Jesus Savior. So the wisdom of the Nation of Islam was to replace that white Savior and put in place of one that wasn't quite so white, Mr. W.D. Farrar. But Mr. W.D. Farrar's message directed us toward a more independent thinking than the first issue or image, I should say, given to us in church of the Caucasian Savior. We talk about this progress here. But in the end, where we're at now, the last given to us, Imam Muhammad, first, they had the Savior's apostrophe S on his father, and later on, Imam Muhammad and Mr. Farrakhan did too. I think Mr. Farrakhan made it first. They shifted the apostrophe to be last, Savior's, then the apostrophe last. And just you need to know this. Why was that single shifting of the apostrophe to be last, after that, why is it so significant? Because now Saviors is plural. When the apostrophe is before the S, S-A-V-I-O, they had a U in there, S-A-V-I-O-U or apostrophe S, then that Saviors was one person, Mr. Farrar. But when you shift the apostrophe to last, now the Savior has become plural. We all are Saviors. That was the next step. That was the next step or the evolution of thinking in this phrase. And just one other little note as well. Mr. Farrar, he gave the spelling with a U in there, S-A-V-I-O-U, are. It's important to know why that U was there, because that's the way that the British spell Savior. The same way with the word honor. You see it in some Qurans. Honor has a H-O-N-O-U-R. That, again, is British spelling. Why am I emphasizing that point? Because Mr. Farrar was taught in British India. Therefore, he had the British English. Now, I know you say, oh, he came from Mecca. That's what he claimed. He came from India. And there's so many indications. And that's a whole different show, whole different program. So back to my point. Savior, singular. Savior Day. Savior Day is the point to where we come now to where we all are Savior, but we are not to look outside of ourselves for the Savior. You are the Savior. You know the old saying, you're waiting for the cavalry to come? How long have you been waiting for the cavalry to come? And you still waiting for the Savior to come? No. Cavalry, same thing. You still waiting for the cavalry to come? No, you are the cavalry. That's one of the favorite sayings from Imam Kazo Akhmed, may Allah forgive him for his sin, getting to paradise. He said, you waiting for the Savior to come? I mean, excuse me. Like he said, it's the same thing. I keep getting them mixed up in my words. But Savior and cavalry said the same thing. You really don't have to come from outside of yourself? No. Do for self. I believe this concept. I believe that Savior Day is in our DNA as a people. Going back to Bilal ibn Rabah, I love your peace with Bilal. When Bilal said to Abu Bakr, when Abu Bakr freed Bilal from that heavy rock and paid an exorbitant amount of money to free Bilal, Bilal getting up, and he been in the hot sun, he's thirsty, his chest is hurting from that big rock been on his chest, and one of the first things he said to Abu Bakr, he said, oh, Abu Bakr, if you free me for yourself, then keep me, but if you free me for the sake of Allah, let me go. That's Bilal ibn Rabah, the Habashi from the land of Ethiopia, we call it nowadays. That Savior's Day, that spirit was working in Bilal to where he says, I don't want to be free by you just to go from one plantation to another plantation. I want to be free for the sake of Allah. Another expression of this Savior concept being in our DNA. We can see it in very many people. I'm going to mention just two more here. One is Frederick Douglass. And here's July 5th, 1952 speech. This is the day after the 4th of July. You know, they titled it. He titled it. He said, what to the slaves is the 4th of July? And he began to speak to these white people in the big public gathering and let them know that yeah, the 4th of July to you don't mean the same thing what they mean to me and my people. Now, Frederick Douglass himself, he was no longer on a plantation. He had access. By now, he had some money. He had some wealth. He had prestige. He had access to the president. But he himself, as an individual being free, he was not free in his mind and soul because his people was not free. And he gets before this big group of esteemed white people, and said, what to the slave is the 4th of July? And he went on, and you can read, you can just go and Google his speech, Frederick Douglass, July 5th, 1852, is titled, what to the slave is the 4th of July? In other words, I know what it means to you all, but it don't mean the same thing to me and my people. Why? Because that spirit of Savior Day, that is in our DNA. I'm going to give one more sighting showing you that this thinking, this movement, this powerful movement, and what the Imam Muhammad calls us, he said, our dynamic African-American soul, that movement, that thrust, for Savior's Day. It's also shown in our beloved brother, Dr. Martin Luther King. Here he is on the steps, I think at the Lincoln Memorial it was. President Johnson passed the Civil Rights Bill. Abraham Lincoln that freed the slaves and all that. But Dr. King said these words. And he was describing the culture at the time. I think the Olympics must have been in the headline because he mentioned the Olympics in his talk, but he was addressing the what he called the cultural homicide, and he says here, quote, to offset this cultural homicide, the Negro must rise up with an affirmation of his own Olympian manhood. Any movement for the Negro's freedom that overlooks this necessity is only waiting to be buried. As long as the mind is enslaved, the body can never be free. Psychological freedom, a firm sense of self-esteem, is the most powerful weapon against the long night of physical slavery. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation, no Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can totally bring this kind of freedom. The Negro will only be free when he reaches down to the inner depths of his own being and signs with the pen and ink of assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. And it goes on. But what was Dr. King saying? He said, you think that Abraham Lincoln, he said, no Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation. He said, do you think that freed you? Do you think President Johnson giving you Civil Rights Bill can bring this kind of freedom? He said, no. And it was that save yourself concept from the Quran that Dr. King was saying, look, until the Negro, he said the Negro, they called us Negro back then, the Negro will only be free when he, I'm going to add in she, when he or she reaches down to the inner depths. Listen to these words are rich, inner depths, that's in your soul, right? Inner depths of his own being and signs with the pen and ink of self-asserted, I'm going to put the word self in there because he said it in another speech, until he goes to his own being, his or her own being, and signs with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood, womanhood, his own, her own Emancipation Proclamation. That's Dr. King. So this idea of Savior Day, it's been in our being. It's in our soul. It's in our very makeup. So, Brother Mark, we got to go in 7 minutes to this other program, so I'm going to give you about 5 minutes, my brother. I know you got something to say. Brother Mark Shaheed from the STL, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam to you, my dear brother, Imam Shaheed, and to the IWDM radio listen audience. This is Mark Shaheed from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis and the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah, and that simply means that the praise and the thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost, and just want to commend you once again on the excellent production, as it's already started out as that, and on the topic that you have, as such a timely topic, as we know that this is being observed at different points of the country, not only the Nation of Islam, but actually certain points of the country in association with Imam W.D. Muhammad. I agree with you 100% in the evolution of the word Savior's Day, starting, as an individual, and then with apostrophe S, and then the S on there, an apostrophe apostrophe after it, meaning plural. But when it has evolved to, as you so eloquently articulated, when you read Surah 66:6, the answer is right there. Imam Muhammad said that Tafsir Quran bil Quran, and that simply means the clear explanation of the Quran by the Quran answers many of the questions that we may have and give and reveal to us further insight. I like to say that when we should ask ourselves the question now, when Allah says to save yourself and to save your family, would Allah reveal to us and say to us as believers to do something that we didn't have the capacity nor the ability to do? And the answer is not only no, but it's emphatically no. And you hit the nail on the head when you said that this is in the soul. Imam Muhammad has taught us that the soul is comprised of two components, the fujul and the taqwa. The fujul and the taqwa. And both of them represent something. The fujul is the rational. The taqwa is the moral part of the human being. So Allah has already put in the soul that inclination and also the ability to be able to save ourselves. And so what is it that will save you and me and our family? We can look at it in terms of just your own family, but we can also expand that to the human family. What will save one person will save all of humanity, and that is the taqwa, the conscious remembrance of Allah. Of Allah's what? First and foremost, of Allah's word. And this production is Words Make People. And as you often said, every time I listen in, the best words to make a person or people is the word of revelation when it's been revealed. So what would save that one individual in consciously being regardful of God's word, but also his will and his way, you know, that he has for his human creation, will save not only you, but it'll save your family, if you're looking at it just from that context. But if you expand in that to all human creation, it would be the same for all of human creation. Mm-hmm. And we just about getting ready to embark. I think we have maybe a couple of days left in this month of Rajab, which is the seventh month of the Hijra calendar.
Yes,
we'll be moving into Shaban. And so I'm only just saying that those last 10 days is for the freedom or the liberation from the fire of passion. And I just want to add this here, that this is very important in terms of Savior's Day. We know that day in the Arabic language is Yom. Yom. Here's another connection that Imam Muhammad has given to us. Maliki Yom Medin. Oftentimes the soul master, the day of judgment, day of religion. But this is our day. This is our day. This is the day for the human being, but especially for the human being that have understood this revelation and what it is Allah has given to us to be able to save ourselves and save our family. It's really in opposition to what has been said to us, that
yes,
who
sir.
Would be the Savior, you know. So I just want to say
yes,
that
sir.
Because we can't accept the individual
no.
being the Savior. We have to see what it is Allah has said that he has given to us. It would be just like a parent telling a child to do something that they didn't have the wherewithal nor the ability to be able to do.
Yes, sir.
So whatever it is Allah says
yeah,
to us in the Quran.
I think I will add to that.
Yes, he's given us the provision.
See, Mm-hmm. Yeah, because see, when Allah taught Adam,
mm-hmm.
and then put Adam before the angels.
Yes.
You see, so the individual will save themselves only according to the plan of God once we've been educated to the plan of God.
Yes.
But the way that this world gave it to us, I share with the believers on Friday, they always have a pencil and pad in their hand keeping tally. When they come to be your savior, they keep tabs on that. And one day they're going to cash in because they want you to always to be under them or to go through them or get their permission. But when Allah put Adam before the angels, Adam didn't have to ask the angels for permission. He didn't have to ask the beast for permission. Allah gave him permission.
That's right.
The save yourself comes when Allah has given you proper education in the Quran and the life model of Muhammad the Prophet is the best education. Then we can save ourselves because the Quran said, Muhammad, tell them you are not the daddy of any of them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The Quran said,
That's
Muhammad,
right.
tell them you're not there to manage their affairs. You're not their wakil to manage their affairs. You are the messenger of Allah. You are the katib al-nabi, but you are not to manage their affairs. Allah wants us to manage our own affairs after we, and he gives us the information, and he gave us the potential in the wombs of our mother. Like a seed has the potential for a tree. You can't see that big tree and that little big seed, but the whole potential was there. And then when we come and put it in the right environment, then Allah wants us to grow because on judgment day, we are self-accountable.
That's right.
That's why we said there's an evolution. There's the evolution of the word, therefore an evolution of the meaning. We have to evolve along with it because Abraham said, "Oh, I have wronged my own soul." He didn't blame Shaitan. He didn't blame his wife or his daddy. He said, "I wronged my own soul." And until we, and in particular as African Americans. People, I don't like the word black, but until we get to that point where we always going to have someone who's going to come in and be our savior. Somebody's going to run the grocery stores in that neighborhood. They're going to run the schools in that neighborhood. They're going to run our thinking and our mind. Because we had not rose up to be the saviors Allah made us to be. It's Savior's Day, brothers and sisters.
Yes, sir. So you're absolutely right, Brother Imam. The freedom to be responsible, Allah has given us that.
Yes.
And we have to honor that freedom to be responsible for ourselves. So, alhamdulillah, this is beautiful. And you know, as to say that evolution that you're speaking of, we think that it is Allah has created and established, and even his revelation is to evolve us, to involve us into the excellence. So thank you so much for that. And while I'm on here, If I can take a minute here just to
Before you say that, before you think, I do want you to say that I'm having a hard time, getting into the New Jersey Mavs conference. So I'm going to get on here on my computer, and I'm going to log in that way. So you can talk. Go ahead and see what you want to say. Make a few more comments, because I cannot get in on that number, David. But we're going to do it one way or the other, inshallah. Go ahead, please.
Okay, thank you so much. Yes, just want to say to our IWDM radio listen audience and listenership, particularly this Wednesday, after the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab that airs at 7 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time with Dr. Patricia Sloan-Dean and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. Then the next hour, which will be 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, the MGM Roundtable, which is the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, we will conclude in terms of what has been designated as African-American history/Black history, Lalayan history, Ethnic History Month, with Imam Dr. Bashir Ali has agreed to join me at the roundtable. And the focus all of this month has been on two of our outstanding leaders that have been at the forefront in the contributions, and that's the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Imam W.D. Muhammad. So the focus will be on Imam W.D. Muhammad, what it was that he left. Now what we have, as you just heard Imam McHale say, the sectional conveners across the country, and then having a national convener. And the emphasis was put on that, and much of the information that Imam Muhammad wanted this community to have and the responsibility that we should undertake in the community. So we'll be looking at that contribution that Imam Muhammad has made, and Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, you know, has that, and courses that have come as a result of those instructions that Imam Muhammad left. These are some of the jewels that oftentimes are overlooked by the outside community, but oftentimes inside of our community. So I will be dialoguing with him in regards to some of those things, and we'll have even more of appreciation and value our beloved leader, Imam Warfuddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Anhu. I don't know if I have any other time to say anything about the other productions, but I don't want to take up too much of Imam Sayyid's time.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Okay.
No, go ahead, because I'm trying to get into this program.
Okay. Okay. I didn't want to, get your permission. So, alhamdulillah. So,
yes,
that would be Wednesday here on IWDM Radio. And then Thursday on IWDM Radio, we have the Sister Learning Lab to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Let me say the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is hosted. My co-host is Karan Shakir from the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. She joins me each and every Thursday evening here on IWDM Radio. And that production begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And the last 2 weeks we had a couple, a marriage of about 20 years, Mustafa and Kim Mujahid, have actually joined us on that. And we've been on the 25 Do's and Don'ts of Islamic Courtship. So we do invite you to attend. And our theme has been on these learning labs, it is a family affair. We do ask that all of these productions that you will invite family members. And we say family goes just beyond just your immediate family. It could be your friends, associates, neighbors, and also community members. We ask that you do ask them to dial in. It's the same number that you dialed in here at the Words Make with Imam Miguel Sayer, 714-816-673. Like Imam McHale may be striking gold here.
I think so.
With New Jersey.
Yeah.
Do I have another minute or so or not? Can I take another minute, Brother Imam, or not? Are you ready?
Yeah, well, what it is that they have not.
They haven't started.
To get a host for their program. Yeah, they have started, but they don't know how to mute their other participants.
I see.
So as soon as they get the host on there,
they have a universal mute and all. So that's a conference.
Right.
So apparently, you're right. They don't have the host in place, and so there'd be a lot of chaos if. But people are not going to just mute their mic and unconsciously be talking, and you won't be able to understand whoever it is.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if they had a host on there, it would be no problem. Go ahead, make your point.
Yeah, so that's on Thursday. And, of course, we know that for those who are immobile, who can't get out to the local masajids and Islamic centers across the country, they can always come back to IWDM Radio with our very distinguished esteemed Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir, each and every Friday. And this is not the Juma with him, a longtime resident Imam Al-Nur Islamic Center. And that begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Salatu Juma with Imam Mikhail Sahir. And then, of course, this is Sunday, so you actually are listening in to our longest-running production here on WDM Radio, Words Make People.
Yes,
Words Make People. And
yes,
and that happens every Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Eastern, and it's high noon Central and 10 a.m.
Okay.
Those times. So thank you so so much.
I think you're you're a big lifesaver because I called that number, and if I got that number, I would be a lot better, but they were not quite ready. They're about ready now.
Okay. Okay, but good. Thank you so much, Brother Imam, for giving me the time to do that and just to give my 2 cents worth. Alhamdulillah. As-salamu alaykum.
Alhamdulillah.
Honor, sir, and executive. So let me make my statement. Help us to have a greater, better.
You can mute me out, please, ma'am.
So we are observing and celebrating this day. And we used to be more happy to have a better spirit. We didn't have any. Well, we were happy. And we could see a lot of God sent us here. And we were lost foundation. We had what was more important than food, fancy clothes, and fine buildings. Everybody got a free, delicious apple that we remember on faith today. The apples used to be very, very good. Nice, juicy red apple. This was the Savior Day celebration. Savior Day is meant to be a day of remembrance and celebration. There used to be two laws, as we know, in America. One for African Americans, another law for whites. They were free to have full benefit of citizenship, and we were not. And that changed, alhamdulillah, in the 1960s. But look how long we were socially rejected in this country and how shameful this country was. And we know and recall Frederick Douglass spoke out against this country and said, you claim the religion of Christ Jesus to be... claim to be teachers. This is what Frederick Douglass said, of democracy for the whole world. But your behavior is such that will shame a nation of savages. So here is Frederick Douglass challenging America to look at itself and see that it is not measuring up to what it means to be. To be Christians mean to be Christ-like, yes. To be like Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, the prophet. And to be leaders of democracy, you are supposed to have free people, not slaves, if you are the leaders of democracy. So he was, Frederick Douglass was addressing America. And he was challenging them back then. Way back then, a long way back. So quoting a slave named Julia from the book called The People Who Walk in Darkness Have Seen a Great Light. So this was a German writer who was writing about the plight of African-American people in the world of white supremacists. So this play, as we know, named Judah, said to white people, you look like God in the picture because the image we have of God was Jesus, the Son of God. You look like God you in the face, but you act like the devil in your face. She was saying, but I'm not the devil. So Thursday is a great day of remembrance and celebration. It is socialize, to be with each other, to enjoy each other's company, and meeting persons we haven't seen in years or months or days from distant towns away. So we should enjoy this day. We should celebrate this day. We should praise this day. It's fun, but also a day that we gather.
Okay, just give me a minute here, people. We'll be right back. I'm going to try one more step here. And just give me a minute, and we'll be right back here in a second. They have a, yeah, they have a little difficulty as well. So we're going to, we'll be right back in about a minute, please. Just give me a minute, and we'll be right back.
People hold you to your word.
We're not just a living organism. We are intelligent. And there's a process. There's a design. There's a scheme. There's a system and activity that's following a plan. A plan, yes, unquote. Many of you will recognize this concept of a new creation from the Quran, Surah 14, Ayat 19. And in the language of Quran, it's referred to as Khalqin Jadid. Khalqin Jadid, a new creation. So, something I always share with my local community is we should see ourselves connected to something bigger, to the plan of Allah. This is our legacy, and this is our destiny. In this new creation, we have the wounds and the legacy of our human nature and the aspirations of the soul. Our 400-year unique African-American experience and the struggle for freedom, justice, and equality. And our Islamic community progression, starting in 1930, Master Farah, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the Nation of Islam. In addition to the wounds and the legacy, Imam Muhammad gave us a vision of our destiny as an Islamic community and developing organism. He also referred to this destiny as Ummatul Islamiyya and said it's based upon our fitra, the natural pattern for our development that Allah created us on, rooted in truth and human excellence, the Quran, the revealed word of Allah, and the life example of Muhammad the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. So this day, as we remember and celebrate, let's celebrate the connections with our legacy and the progression to our destiny. Let us also celebrate this bigger purpose of developing the foundation and institutions of our Islamic community life. As we reflect upon the natural progression of this community life, let us remember we are a developing organism and we are growing naturally in accordance with the plan of Allah. We should prioritize working together interdependently beyond the limitations and boundaries of our messages, building and developing this greater vision of Islamic community life based upon the four birds of education, economics, government, and culture. We should prioritize and encourage intergenerational engagement and support and development of new leaders to carry our community into the future. New leaders who represent the character of our prophet and the vision and thinking of our identity. As we close out, let us also remember the many pioneers and believers over the last 9 years that sincerely dedicated themselves to this journey, who believed, worked, sacrificed, and built the foundation of this new creation. All of us know someone, and some of us know many, that touched our lives, inspired us, nurtured us, and became living role models of this need. Each week, somewhere in this country, we lose one or more of our precious pioneers, but we still have them among us. Please find a way to preserve their wisdom, experience, and legacy for history. Let us thank them for their contribution to our collective journey, and let us cherish each day there among them. As I close, I'd like to thank all those pioneers that nurtured my development, starting with those pioneers from the Nation of Islam and extending with them W.D. Muhammad and the almost 50-year journey of our community since 1975. I can think of dozens of them that mentored me, gave me their wisdom and counsel, and inspired my life. Today, I'd like to publicly acknowledge two of them, my in-laws, John and Ruth Bilal, in the mid-1950s. They followed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and they knew the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, they knew Malcolm. They worked and labored from now, then until now. They had 12 children, and many of those children are still connected and progressing in our community today. Today, as we speak, Brother John is in the hospital, So let's say du'a for Yeshua, say du'a for all those pioneers who have labored and worked and built the foundation we stand on. We thank Allah for them. We thank Allah for each one of you. Peace and blessings. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. We thank you, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali. Alhamdulillah. But since time is running, we would like to bring on our next convener, Imam Musa Abdul Ali of the Northeast Section.
Of those members in the Nation of Islam, as it was said in the wilderness of North America, under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the teacher, Mr. Farad Muhammad, or W.D. Farad. 92 years of committed leadership, continuing from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad upon his passing until Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahimullah and his passing. When I reflect on Savior's Day, it brings me to scripture. It brings me to Prophet Moses, Musa alayhi salam. As Moses was leading his people to the promised land, he encountered many difficulties, many trials, many circumstances, but it didn't stop him from the mission of going and getting to the promised land. We call the Honorable Elijah Muhammad a man like Moses. It didn't stop him from getting his community to where he believed it should have been. We look at Jesus the Christ, upon him be peace, as he leads his community, his helpers, his workers, to get to the kingdom. And then we cannot conclude without thinking about and reflecting on Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his years of leadership in prophethood, leading his community under severe pressure from the social environment, bringing his people to the city of enlightenment. As I think of 92 years, I think of the sacrifice and struggles of all the pioneers who came before me, who dedicated their life for the concept of freedom, justice, and equality, which was the idea of Islam. And we cannot thank Allah enough for those pioneers who've given all of themselves, not just money, but their physical body and labor, to give to what they believed in was going to get us to the salvation for our people, for themselves. We can't thank Allah enough for Imam Muhammad bringing the clarity of the Quran in the life example of Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of him, we are a new people. We are a new creation. We are a new African. And we thank Allah for the journey and the struggle and also some of the hiccups we made in following him, because we didn't see everything that he was doing. But we thank Allah that we stayed the course and we sacrificed it. As Imam Bashir Ali said earlier, we have to work together from as far as we can to as close as we can to get to our destiny, to get to our goal. I thank you, you pioneers who worked, how many years you worked in cause of the idea of freedom, justice, and equality. I thank you, imams, who came before me in this work, who dedicated their lives in supporting and giving the life teachings that the imam has given us. to help our community, to help our world become better. In concluding, I want to read a verse from the Quran where it is a known verse. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas tamuruna bil ma'ruf. And I just want to stop there. You are the best of people, brought out and evolved for the good of all people, inviting or enjoying what is right. This community, the Nation of Islam, under Honorable Elijah Muhammad, was a community to do what was right. Imam Muhammad, as well, continued the work to leading us to what was right. We have to continue the work for the future. We have to continue this work and never forget this time period in our history. Savior's Day or Savior Day is a very important time period in the clock of Muslim African Americans, and it should never be forgotten. And we thank Allah for all of the service and all of the work. And in conclusion, I thank you, the Jersey Council of Imams, for inviting the conveners today to have them give a word, a brief word of reflection and reminder. And again, it's an honor to serve you as your convener. I greet you all. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam. That's right. It's about history, legacy, and the preservation of our history and legacy. And for our next reflection, it will come from Imam Yahya Islam, who is the Southern Section convener. Assalamu alaikum, Imam Islam. Imam Yahya Islam, are you on the line? Unmute your device, beloved.
Sister Hassana, he might not be on the line at this time.
Okay, so let's just go to the next one. We'll go to the next imam, inshallah. Imam Khalid Mahdi, who is the New England section convener. Imam Mahdi, if you're on the line, inshallah, we'd like to hear your reflection. Assalamu alaikum.
No, Talib won't be on the line. He had some surgery this past week. And so he informed us earlier today that he wouldn't be on the line.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him shifa and give him a quick healing, inshallah. May he recover quickly, inshallah. Yes. So with that, we're going to go to the next one, inshallah, who is the Southwest Section convener of the council, which is Imam Fahim Sabri. Assalamu alaikum, Imam Sabri. You're on the line. Make sure you unmute your device.
Imam Sabri might not be on the line. Just go to the next
okay,
one,
okay, well, oh, well, I know this sister is on the line because I saw her beautiful face, and she is a walking historian of our history in the Nation of Islam through our conversion to our Shahadatain. So with that, we would like to bring on the leader and editor of the Muslim Journal, Sister Aisha Mustafa. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Aisha.
Well, alaikum assalam, Sister Shaw. Thank you so very much for having me, all of the sectional imams, the leaders of this community. Thank you all so very much. I greatly appreciate it. And I just have to give a little shout out for those who have been in the forefront of supporting the Muslim Journal, as that is my representation here. The names, basically just reading the names that are on this Zoom, Imam Latif, thank you so much as a historian and bringing so much to the forefront, to, reminding me of the great history of this Muslim paper. Imam Mubashir, in the late nights, many, many late nights, back in the late 1990-something, Mubashir did fundraisers that didn't nobody even know was being done. Mubashir funded the replacement of the computers in the Muslim Journal office, although they are kind of like a little old now, Mubashir. But you brought us online. You brought us up in the modern time where we could get off of typewriters and get onto the computer system. And that was Mubashir quietly doing that kind of fundraising, calling me. Of course, Imam A.K. Muhammad, Abdul Karim Muhammad, has taken the initiative now. And I am in deep gratitude to you, sir, because of your strong voice and your determination and your persistence and your demands on us all. That we have a jewel here in the newspaper, not my newspaper, our newspaper, the newspaper of this community when others didn't have a newspaper. We don't really understand how important it was to have your own voice piece. I'm going to talk on that historically a little bit. But Imam A.K. Muhammad Abdul Karim Muhammad, for your initiative and your persistence and your drive today, it is greatly appreciated. Imam Adel Nuruddin, our longest tenured columnist in the Muslim Journal. The first time Nuruddin and I talked back in the 90s, he called me up to complain. He said, "Sister, I don't like such and such in the paper." And so, of course, my only defense was, "Well, Imam Adel Nuruddin, why don't you write it?" And he's been writing ever since. Imam McCaffrey here, who repeatedly have us on his program, Words Make People, has given us a voice beyond the newspaper. Yeah. And the last time he had us on Words Make People, we were commemorating the 60 years of this newspaper. We started with 1961 when Malcolm opened the paper in New York. And we come down to 2021. The completion of that year gives us 60 years of journalism excellence in this community. And Imam McKelsa here sponsored us, and it was supposed to be a two-hour program. It went into 3 hours, and it's still in the archives. And that was the brothers calling in. You know, there were editors who collected the information and put it in the paper, but it was the Fruit of Islam who made that paper popular. And they had brother after brother calling in with their testimonials. What they went through on the street, I'm going to read a few of their comments as they called in to that show. And we want to put them in word form and give them a tribute in the Muslim Journal. Excuse me. Lyndon Bilal, another one of our columnists in the Muslim Journal with MAVA, the Muslim American Veterans Association. He's carried that column to new heights with a dedication and a seriousness that it deserves, and celebrating all among us who have dedicated much of their lives, put themselves on the front line on behalf of us and our country. Naeem Shaw is not on the line, but Naeem Shaw in Los Angeles will always be dear to our hearts. When we started commemorating those brothers who took 300 papers or more a week, Naeem Shaw said all of his in California can't come to a Muslim Journal dinner. So he told me to send him the pens and he would collect his people to give tribute to. We have a pen called a 300 plus. It's a lapel pen that we issued to the brothers that we know of who sold 300 plus papers a week. Naeem Shaw held a program in Los Angeles, had the brothers that were under his command because he was captain in Los Angeles under A.K. Hassan. He was A.K. Hassan's captain after Ali Rashid. Also was A.K. Hassan's captain. So just look at the caliber of men we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
A.K. Hassan, Ali Rashid, Naeem Shaw. Hmm. And those are the ones that we don't hear a lot about. We hear about Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X, Imam W.D. Muhammad, and, yes, Minister Louis Farrakhan. But look at the caliber of individuals that have come through this community. It is unmatched. You know, we have in the other stream, we have Dr. Martin Luther King and his soldiers, but still the Nation of Islam generated power in humanity and human beings is unmatched, can match anyone else's regiment of people who were responsible for and dedicated to advancing the well-being of the African-American people.
That's true.
There are so many others, and I just I'm sorry, I'm a snoop. I just go down lines. It's part of the profession. You have to be nosy. So I see Marsh is on the line. She's bringing up the young crew. And we look forward to them and New Freedom Exchange, that group of young people, younger than us anyway, because young is what Malcolm didn't reach 31. Dr. King didn't reach 40. Malcolm didn't reach 40. Dr. King didn't reach 40. Here in Mississippi, I can rattle off a list of freedom fighters that didn't get out of their 20s. I mean, their lives were cut short because they were on the front line. And so if you stand up, then you are ready to take responsibility for yourselves, and you don't have a waiting time. You just step up front. Imam W.D. Muhammad, when he talked about the newspaper, he talked about it in the context of free expression, freedom of choice, as we are a part of a democracy. And he said, the thing about the freedom of choice is that you have the right to choose the best thereof. So he put it upon us, yes, everybody has the right to choose, but you as Muslims, you should be choosing the best thereof. We've gone through hard times. We've gone through burdensome times, but you know, there's a prayer that says, oh Allah, put not on us more than we can bear. And then do not put up on us the burdens that you put up on people before us. And we have to know that there have been some great sacrifices on behalf of this community. Another giant in our community that if you weren't in Chicago, maybe you didn't speak much about, but Ephraim Baha, the Ephraim Baha Center is named after Ephraim Baha. When Imam Muhammad came into office, he used to give lectures on the stars, and he would have those pioneers, those who still live, and come up front and sit on the front seat. But there was one that he singled out time and time again, and that was Ephraim Baha. And then he began to name buildings after Ephraim Baha. No one really knew him to a national level, but he said Ephraim Baha was that FOI, that soldier, who would go through the alleys in Chicago collecting scrap iron. And he had a bed, a truck bed, but it didn't have wheels on it. It wasn't a truck bed that was on a truck. It was a truck bed that Ephraim Baha put a strap on it and put over his shoulder. And he pulled that truck bed through the alleys to pick up scrap iron. He would take it to sell it. And what did he do with the money? He brought it to Sister Clara Muhammad to help sustain her family while the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was in prison. And so that's how Imam Muhammad remembered Ephraim Baha. So we have people who didn't stand up for the fanfare. They didn't, you know, they didn't, you probably can't even find a picture of them anywhere. They didn't stand up for photo ops. But they were dedicated to this community. They were dedicated to the cause, to its successes. And they looked out for each other, even if they didn't get any recognition for it. So, and that was the call that you had. You know, we should our prayers and our sacrifices, our life and our death are all for Allah, and this am I commanded. I am of those who submit. Now, those who say we came through a non-Muslim way, that is Quran. We were reciting it at the time that we didn't even know it was a Quranic verse. So Allah was instilling into us the seed and the attitude and the appetite for Al-Islam even before we got to the door of Al-Islam. And then he gave us the pure leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad. But as Elijah Muhammad said, he had to clean us up first. He had to empty out all of that inferiority, all of that assuming that the white man was God. And so he replaced that with, yeah, he replaced it with something drastic. He said, you think he's the God, you the God. So at first he directed us away from our own shackles. And the greatest shackle on us was white supremacy. We ourselves, if you go back and look at our parents and the way we grew up, and me as a child, in my Christian household, Christ was on the wall. He had blonde hair, blue eyes. Some people may not know. The early pictures of Christ were blonde hair and blue eyes. You look up at a picture of Christ on the wall and they say, that's God. And then you look at the person that's kicking you in the rear all day long, humiliating you, having you to walk off the sidewalk, making you feel inferiority, and you say, he looks like God. As Imam A.K. Abdul Karim Muhammad was reciting the words of Julia, they look like God in the face, but they act like the devil. And so we had a mighty force within this community that we will always give gratitude for. And, of course, my task starting with the newspaper, the Muhammad Speaks, when we had the show with Words Make People with Imam Mikhail Sahir, so many brothers called in. We had a two-hour show that extended to 3 hours. And, again, it is archived. But I just want to read some of the comments that came out of that show itself. Now, you know, at the height of the Muhammad Speaks, we were selling 800,000 papers a week. Some people say, well, what happened? Well, we know when Imam W.D. Muhammad came into office, at that time in the Nation of Islam, in our whole back meetings and in our responsibilities, we had a great burden on many of the brothers. But many of the brothers took it to heart to carry out the roles of being paper salesperson. Imam Khalid, that lives in Mecca, he wasn't on the show, but he began to send me text messages and messages on Facebook. And he says about those brothers who sold those papers, he said, we're still alive, the 1,000 Muhammad Speaks newspaper salesmen per week. And he said, we sold 1,000 a week all across America, and we started in New York. And he says, much love and respect for Imam Muslim and Uthman Sharif, who were also top paper salesmen in Newark. Brother Omar Abdulaziz from Harlem, our crew sold a minimum of 10,000 papers a week in Queens and 10,000 papers a week in Brooklyn. We raised and trained soldiers ourselves. I was in Queens, Kareem was in Brooklyn, but I happened to be in charge of the crew by default. The spirit was so high and thick, you could cut it with a knife. We were on fire. He spoke of the blind brother out of Chicago, and praise be to Allah, I knew Brother Abdulaziz. He said the blind brother sold 500 papers a week. He's since passed. And then after the show had closed, I got another message, and I see he's in the call today, Brother Ahmed Rouhani, who also gave me a narration. The History of Muhammad Speaks was a great program and brought back many profound historical memories for myself and many others who attended Temple No. 25, Newark, New Jersey. As you're aware, Temple No. 25 was a major contributor to the success of Muhammad Speaks from his first issue back in 1961. The men are the Fruit of Islam under Captain John S. Nash and Minister James Shabazz Sr. and James Shabazz Jr., their Lieutenant George. We were always in the top five, right up there with cities like New York, Chicago, Detroit, and Los Angeles. There were at least 10 to 20 brothers who sold 500 to 1,000 papers weekly. Those were the papers that sold directly on their account. This doesn't include the papers they sold of other brothers who they helped. Those brothers, many of them selling Muhammad Speaks, that was their livelihood. They made upwards of $500 or more per week. In the 60s, 70s, and 80s, they paid their charity to the mosque. They fed and clothed their families and even bought cars and homes by selling some even opened businesses on their own income. All praise is due to Allah. As Imam Muhammad told us, we cannot stop now, and that is why we cannot stop now. We cannot stop in this community just like we can't stop with the civil rights movement. All of those people in the civil rights movement who died on our behalf just so that we would have the right to vote. It would be a shame if we didn't get up on voting day and not go to the poll after so much sacrifice has been made. It'll be a shame if we lose this institution of a Muslim newspaper that not only fits within our history, but as we all collectively fit into the African-American history movement in this country. The Muhammad Speaks fits into the history of newspapers in this country. When Malcolm before he opened the first office for the Muhammad Speaks in New York in 1961, Malcolm was selling black African-American newspapers. He was criticizing the newspapers in New York and downtown. He called them the big guns. He was criticizing them because they would print things that would belittle the Muslims, actually put the Muslims in danger, and then the black newspapers would have to come back and refute those claims and assist even the black Muslims at that time in their defenses, even in court. So Malcolm said, the big guns, the newspapers downtown, are going to be your downfall. And if anybody's going to save you, it's going to be the black newspapers. He said, those are your guns. Keep them well ready and support them. He said, I don't care what newspaper you purchase, but buy a black newspaper every week. We know that we would not return to quote-unquote old glory, but we should not allow the progress and the successes and the advancements that we made to not be continued until the next generation. We should not have our next generation starting from scratch. We should have them with a foundation that they can build on, and that is the value of most, what they call old money. When you start talking about old money, is that there's a foundation that's passed on. And we as a community of this magnitude, of this caliber, should have a foundation and resources for those who are coming behind us, who are ready, willing, and able. They've been tested for their maturity, that they can start from this point on, and they don't have to go back to 1945. They don't have to go back to 1961. They don't have to go back in the road to pick up where we perhaps failed. So let's give them, as we give Imam W.D. Muhammad a good future, let's give our next generation a good future and a foundation to build on. Thank you very much. Blessed, happy, save you, say. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Sister Aisha. Alhamdulillah. Very beautiful. We need to make one or two announcements before we go to our next speaker. We want to give a shout out to Words Make People by Imam Michael Zaire. They're logged into this program with us, and you know, we thank him for logging in to the program. But without further ado, we want Sister Aisha to know that we will in the future be putting up a fundraiser for the Muslim Journal to help with the situation that exists there. And Masjid Salahuddin has already collected $1,000, which you will receive shortly. So alhamdulillah. And without further ado, we want to bring in a well-known speaker that is our Mid-Atlantic section convener, our brother that's beloved, Imam Dr. Abdel Jalil Nuruddin. Alhamdulillah, brother Imam.
Assalamu alaikum to everyone. Believe me, it is a real pleasure and an honor to be on the line with you all today. And truthfully speaking, when we found out about this as conveners, when Musa came to us with it, how were we to do this? It was all about, well, how do we frame this? And so I didn't even make any notes here today because I didn't want to create any notes. I just really wanted to just speak to you all from what I was feeling and what I was thinking relevant to all of this, my life here over the last 50 years with this community. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Imam W.D. Muhammad said to us on Jumu'ah Day, sometime early 2000, that what W.D. Farrar had done, it wasn't the first time in the history of the world that that had been done, that we had been told something about ourselves that wasn't true, that was designed to empower us as a people. Let me give you some European folklore to drive home this point. There's a personality called Bunker Bean. He had a grandmother She was an old wise woman. She was a sage. And Bunker had lost his, and she was actually raising him. So one day she said to him, she said, Bunker, do you know who you are? He said, no, grandmother. She said, you are the reincarnation of Napoleon Bonaparte. And right away, back straightened up, head got high, started feeling good about himself. And he went out, as the history tells us, and studied everything that he could study on Napoleon Bonaparte. And the history goes on to say that ultimately Bunker Bean became very, very successful in the world. So as time went on, he goes back to his grandmother. And she said, Bunker, I got something to tell you. He said, well, what is that, grandmother? She said, well, what I told you in the beginning wasn't quite true. You are not, you were really not the reincarnation of Napoleon Bonaparte. But by that time, he was acting like Napoleon Bonaparte. He was functioning like Napoleon Bonaparte. He was successful like Napoleon Bonaparte. And this is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did. This is what W.D. Farrar did with us. Did the very, very same thing. He gave us a message. It wasn't a true message, but it was an empowering message. And it empowered us. So by the time the imam came in the office in 1975 and said, hey, what my daddy told y'all wasn't quite right, I was there by then, and most of you were too. We were Muslims then. We were ready for the Quran at that particular time. We were ready for the traditions of the prophet. Some of us were already into it by that particular time. So this wasn't the first time in the history of the world that this was done. Something was told to a people that wasn't quite true, but it empowered us. And look at where we are today. We're not to turn around. And I, as Aisha was saying, the imam said, we can't stop now. You cannot. I think our subconscious minds have been impressed enough with where we are to go and what we're supposed to do, that there's nothing unless God changes this whole scenario in the universal order of things to stop us from going to where we want to go. And I agree with Aisha. We cannot leave out of here expecting for our children to start off where we started off. We got to leave something here. And I ain't just talking about some taxes on some property. We need liquid assets. We need millions and millions and millions of dollars. So we need more of these economic programs going on where we're thinking money. Look, we've been turned off. The Bible turned us off about money. Look, the masses have been turned off about money. We can go. We can look. Let's look at the message of concern. The message of concern will tell you how the world got in the condition that it is today. Not just us as an African-American public, but how the world got there. And it's still running. I used that a couple of weeks ago on a national program with people. And once I finished reading that, those people said, where did this come from? Now, it's been running in the paper, y'all know, for years. It's been on one of the pages in the paper every week for, well, I've been here 30 years. The man gave it to us probably somewhere in the 90s or something like that. So it's been running that long, y'all. But when people hear it, they respond to it. And our national Dawah director, Brother Muhammad, this is his main thing. You need to take that message of concern out of the paper. Let's start working in these sections again and gradually do something. We don't have to do a whole lot, but we got to do something because nothing is going to happen if we don't do something. So we can't expect, we think, oh, Allah is going to take care of it. No, he told you, yeah, trust in Allah, but tie the camel. So he told you, I'm not starting nothing. I'm not doing nothing until you do something. So we got to start the process. We got to keep the process moving. But believe me, you all, there are millions and billions of dollars out there waiting on us to claim them. And that's what we have to do. But we got to get smart. We have to become wise. We do have to work together. And I'm so thankful. I talked to Aisha about this. I remember we were in Bermuda time to be grateful that year. And we was riding back to the airport. And Vernon Fareed had come to me and said, Dr. Nuruddin, you say, look, you need to become the convener in this section. I said, I don't know. I said, what you got? He said, well, we ain't got nothing. I said, well, I don't know. So we was on the shuttle going to the airport, and I told Aisha, I said, Aisha, they didn't ask me to be the convener. I said, what you think? She said, well, you don't know what might happen. So I'm the convener today. And I'm still convener. That was 8, 9, going on 10 years ago. And Bashir Ali, our national convener, I have to say this. If it don't be for Bashir, we may not still be together. This is a fact. And the work that's going on now with Mubashir and them are doing with our educational program, look, this is top of the line, y'all. We're going to actually educate thousands and thousands and thousands of people based on the Imam's commentary, the Imam's school of thinking. So we're in line to pretty much have whatever we want, but we're going to have to work for it. Allah is just not going to give it to you just because you say you're a member of this community. But what W.D. Farrar gave to us, it wasn't meant to keep us forever. It was meant to take us to where we are right now. All we got to do is just keep on working. If we do, tomorrow's going to be very, very bright for us and our children as we move on into the future. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to talk to you. I look forward to talking to you all again the next time. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Imam. Sister Hassana, before we come to our last speaker, Imam Mubashir Okda, is he still on the line?
He is. He is on the line.
Imam Mubashir, would you say a few words to us about the convener's educational program for leadership, if you don't mind?
Sure thing. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, well, absolutely. There have been imams talking about a need, and people talking about a need for a systematic, well-researched program that helps to explain and communicate the knowledge body of Imam W.D. Muhammad, as well as strengthen our education in general in the community around the Islamic sciences so that we are stronger in that regard, as well as leadership and community development, which has been one of the mantras of Imam Muhammad. And so the conveners of Imams pulled together a team of individuals to work out a systematic program that will give us the opportunity to allow individuals, especially future leadership, for succession planning purposes, to introduce new individuals and younger folks, as well as all of us, you know, in leadership, to give us a very well-grounded approach, systematic approach to understanding the knowledge body of Imam Muhammad, his commentary, his tafsir, as it relates to a variety of areas that we are in. So we've been laboring and researching and working on curriculum for the last 2-3 years, and finally we kicked off the pilot program in January 26th of this year. And we have 20 students that enrolled, and most of them are on the younger scale, which is great. And it's going extremely well. And those students are learning things about our Imam and what he has taught, and they are extremely inspired and happy and satisfied at this time. And so this is what we've had Imam Mikhail Shabazz, Imam Salahuddin Muhammad, who is the chair for the Islamic Sciences, Imam Bashir Ali is the chair for the leadership and community development component. I'm chairing the Imam Muhammad Knowledge Body and Commentary component. And we are just working together as a team, and we've been striving very hard. So it's going very well, and it's off the ground, and hopefully as time goes on, you will hear more from us and from the students that have been a part of this program.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, we thank you, Brother Imam Mubashir. And Sister Hassana, you can now bring on our next speaker.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for that information, Brother Mubashir. We appreciate you and all that you're doing for our community and the brothers and sisters across the country. And this is just a timely webinar. And to close us out, to bring everything full circle about Savior's Day, I want to introduce my imam, Imam Wahyuddin Sharif, who is the convener for the New Jersey Council of Imams. Imam Sharif?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you, Sister Hassana. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Nashhadu an la ilaha illallah. ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله وخاتم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Dear believers, it gives me a pleasure and honor and a privilege to give you the best of greetings. Greetings of all the messengers and prophets. So peace be upon you and the mercy and the blessings of Almighty Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First, I'd like to thank Allah much for the opportunity for us to be together. You know, and particularly in light of the circumstances that we have in terms of the pandemic, the COVID-19, it's really good to see so many faces that I have not seen in a long time. And it's really nice to know and pleasing to know that they're healthy and they're well and they're still smiling, praise be to Allah. So thank Allah for that, inshallah. I want to thank Imam Farid, Brother Imam Qudus, as well as our sister Hassana Shaw, and Master Salahuddin for actually putting together the program today. We thank Allah for them, Imam Abdul Karim Muhammad, for his moderate helping out to put together the program, as well as we want to thank all of the sectional conveners, the convener, Imam Bashir Ali, as well as all of the sectional imams that participated in the program, and our dear beloved sister editor, Sister Aisha Mustafa. We're very grateful to all of you and all of the words that was given. And on behalf of the Council of Imams, we want to also thank them, all of the imams and the advisors, our dear Sister Rita, who's in the background keeping things moving. Sister Rita, we thank you for the work that you're putting in. And we always know that, you know, there's always someone behind the scenes who is keeping the gears oiled. You know, and if you don't get oil on the gears, they usually will seize up. So there's always somebody who is actually there, who is keeping us moving, and we have many brothers and sisters who do that. In conclusion of today's program, just want to share a few words about this day that we are observing today. In terms, we know that typically the day is observed on February the 26th. Today is the 27th, but we're observing what is called Savior Day, or Savior's Day as it was usually called. But I know the imam actually gave some commentary on that. But it's important for us to remember and be reminded about how important this day is and what we should be doing to keep the spirit of it moving. Allah says, فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّ فَعَتِ الذِّكْرَ. Therefore, give a reminder in case the reminder profits. So this is basically a day that is to remind us about the sacrifices that other people have made to bring us to the point where we are today in our history, to bring us to the point today where we should be appreciative and we should be loving those individuals that sacrifice so much so that we can appreciate this religion. This is a day, of course, of preservation as well. It is a day that should waken us up and bring us to the point where we want to do more than what we have been doing in the past, to keep the vigor, the vigilance, and the virtue that was established in the past, to keep that moving forward. So we have to understand Imam Muhammad Rahim al-Alaik, may Allah have mercy upon him and grant him the highest level of paradise. In his last Savior's Day address, I believe in 2007. He highlighted two main human aspirations and development. He called them valence and nous. Valence he had described as the degree of attractiveness to the natural behavioral pattern that is associated with a mode of behavior that is pleasing to God and a goal that Almighty God wants the human being to reach. And he also talked about the term nous. When you look up this word nous in the Islamic terminology, nous is referring to the aql, or the human intelligence that is resident within the conscience or the soul of the human being. And this nous is associated with the growth of that intelligence so that it begins to grow with regard for all of those things that God said is sacred, as well as it grows in the intelligence or the intellect that is associated exposure to light, those exposures that influence how the brain is supposed to operate. This day is to remind us that we have a lot of work to do, but there are things that we have to do in order for us to work this together. It is important for us to understand that Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, surely each of you is a mirror for his brother, a mirat. That means that each one of us is supposed to be reflecting, reminding, and showing each other the kind of personality and the kind of character that each one of us should be demonstrating in our life. Our Imam Abdul Karim Muhammad, he quoted from Frederick Douglass. I want to give you another quote from this very famous orator and this very famous thinker. He said, men are so constituted that they derive their conviction of their own possibilities largely from the estimate formed of them by others. If nothing is expected of a people, then that people will find it difficult to contradict that expectation. This is the words of our dear leader, Frederick Douglass. And so, again, to highlight something that our Imam Nuruddin said, we were given something that raised our level of expectations for ourselves. We were given a kind of mythology that raised the level of what we thought we could accomplish, and in reality, we are still trying to accomplish it. We are still trying to accomplish that establishment of a community that is associated with the beauty and the growth and the development not only of the personality, but the beauty and the development of the human society. All the good and all the beauty and all the excellence that Al-Islam offers to the human being is to be demonstrated in a society. It is to be demonstrated in how human beings come together and structure their life in a way that begins to transform the society into a way that is peaceful and productive for all those who inhabit that environment. I say to all of us today, let us be brothers and sisters to each other. Let us reflect and let us remind each other of the beauty and the excellence of this community and the beauty and the excellence of this religion that we have embraced. Let us strive to see each other with honest eyes, and let us see, think, and perceive and hold opinions about each other that describe the goodness that is in each other. There are four ways of seeing that are described in Al-Quran. That is the sight of observation that is associated with the physical. There is the supposition or the guessing or the assumption that is associated with the notion or belief. There is the evidence-based opinion that is associated with the mind of judgment. And the fourth item is reflection, consideration, and contemplation. Before the Imam came into his position as our leader, his father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, produced the book. And he said, our Savior has arrived. This day should remind us that our Savior has arrived. Our Savior has arrived. And we should understand that that Savior is resident in your own soul. That Savior is resident in your own intelligence. That Savior is resident in your own goodness. And as long as you call upon that goodness As long as you call upon that intelligence, we, in fact, will reach the destiny that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to reach. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and have mercy upon us always. Brother Imam, do you want me to close out in a dua? Brother Imam Qudus, you're on mute, I think. Let me.
He's having some technical issues,
okay.
Imam. Can you close us out, inshallah?
We'll close out the dua, inshallah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep all of you safe, inshallah. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanaka lahuma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The glory is being to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his praise. Glory be to you, O Allah, and with your praise. We witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except you, and we seek your forgiveness and we repent to you. Glorified is your Lord, the Lord of majesty, far is he above anything that is ascribed to him. Peace be upon all of the messengers, and the praise belongs to Almighty Allah, the Lord of all the systems of knowledge. Amen.
Alhamdulillah. We thank everyone for coming to the Council of Imams Unity Ta'lim or Savior's Day program. And may everybody have a blessed day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum
assalam wa rahmatullah. Wa alaikum
assalam wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Right when I say it.
I don't see that, do you?
Rita, assalamu alaikum, Rita.
Assalamu alaikum, assalam, brother, ma'am, chair.
Give a greeting, Bali.
Assalamu alaikum,
Okay.
I see you, Imam.
I guess the man is gone. Oh, he's gone. There's Pat and Prince. There's Prince. Father, see Prince. Say, assalamu alaikum, Prince.
Wa alaikum assalam. This is Sherry, Brother Wally.
Yeah. See him, bro.
Assalamu alaikum,
Sherry.
Okay, I love you.
I love you more.
Assalamu alaikum.
This is Pat, Brother Prince. Love you. Right. Salam alaikum. Be safe. Okay.
That was a great day.
Yeah, yeah.
We love you.
We love you.
We love you all.
Huh? He's saying he loves you. He's saying it. We love you, Imam Wale.
Oh, oh.
There's Pat. There's Pat right there. See him? Okay. You're looking well, young man.
Okay.
Okay.
Hello.
Right. Are you
sure?
Like my salam. Okay. Like my salam.